4 is a resolution supporting the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act of 2011 and urging members of the Wisconsin delegation in the United States Congress to pursue the final enactment of the bill during the current Congress.
Okay, thank you. I believe that we have some speakers in the audience. If you could come forward, and before you leave, if you would give us one of those blue cards there on the table, if you would fill that out. And hand that to the clerk before you leave. If you introduce yourself before speaking. I'm sorry. Let's start with just an update from Mr. De La Rosa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A very brief update. The reauthorization of legislation dealing with violence against women is basically taking the following steps. In April, the Senate basically passed their version. That include key provisions to ensure protection of the LGBT individuals in the community, as well as taking steps to make college campuses safer. Last month, the House took up a version that basically struck out some of those provisions. Subsequently, we are left with a reconciliation that needs to take place between the two versions, and word is sometime during the course of the next week, or at least by the summer, some reconciliation needs to take place given the fact that the Act runs out in September. Sure.
Thank you, Mr. De La Rosa, and the handout is in front of you. I do have a request by Supervisor Broderick to be added as a co-sponsor. Supervisor Taylor, you're the only one here as one of the co-sponsors. Of, I'm assuming there's no objection to Supervisor Broderick.
Yeah,
just as a formality.
Thank you.
Supervisor Broderick is added as a co-sponsor. All right. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. Which one of you wants to go first? If you just introduce yourself.
My name is Carmen Petrie. I'm the co-executive director of Sojourner Family Peace Center, and I also chair the Milwaukee Commission on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
My name is Colleen Carpenter. I'm the executive director at Daystar.
I was asked, and I'm here to urge you to support the passage of this resolution. I also sit on, I'm the co-chair of the State of Wisconsin Violence Against Women Advisory Committee, and I'm a founding member of that committee and have been serving and looking at how VAWA funds are dispersed throughout the state for the past 15 years. So what I'd like to tell you is that Sojourner Family Peace Center serves not a little over 9,000 people in person, close to 27,000 people through our hotline collectively. And we see this piece of legislation as critical and urgent and necessary. Since its passage, we believe that it's provided an infrastructure for core funding around the country. The state of Wisconsin receives STOP TA money, which is our allocation from this legislation. The number of homicides spiked in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee in particular, in 2010. Over the last year and a half, we've seen that homicide rate go down, but the number of violent incidents, the brutality, has increased. Many of our clients come forward with lifetime histories of victimization. Women, children, and men who've been trapped in cycles of violence, who've been exposed to violence. And we believe that the Violence Against Women Act provides funding for programs like Sojourner to deliver core services. We believe that living violence-free is a basic human right, and the Violence Against Women Act is a way for you as a community leader, for our community leaders across the country, to reaffirm that belief, that everyone deserves to live in peace and no one should be exposed to violence, especially in their relationships, their intimate relationships. We believe that this is a fundamental component of what we need in our communities to end violence. We applaud your effort. We hope that you pass this resolution. We would also ask that you ask Congress to pass the original version, which included remedies for Native women, LGBT victims, undocumented women. These expansions are really critical. What's happened with VAWA over the years? The work is evolving, and we're learning more and more about how people are victimized and isolated in our communities. And with every reauthorization of VAWA, we have an opportunity to include more people who are vulnerable among us. And by passing a stripped-down version of VAWA, the House really eliminated some critical protections for Native women LGBT victims, and we urge you to urge them to include that in the reconciled version of VAWA that gets passed. I have written testimony. I thank you for your time. I'm available to answer questions if you have some.
You can pass the written testimony. It'll be distributed. Just for clarification, when you talk about the original version, you're talking about the Senate version?
The original version in 1994 that was passed. I apologize, Chair. Every version since then, it's been reauthorized twice. It's always included in expansions because that's a reflection of what we've learned about communities who need help that we didn't know in the original version.
Appreciate that.
I don't have written testimony. I actually want to speak very specifically to some of the provisions that have been turning point on this legislation. It really saddens those of us who work with victims every day to see a piece of legislation that is as important and has historically received such broad bipartisan support become yet another victim in the political wars going on both sides. This legislation, the improvements that are contained in the Senate version of this bill are really essential for some victims. And I wonder sometimes whether some of the people speaking out against it have even read or understood what these provisions mean. When a Native woman gets involved with a non-Native man and he goes to live with her on Native American-controlled territory, that man gets a free pass to perpetrate domestic violence because the traditional law enforcement structure does not have jurisdiction on reservation property, and the tribal government doesn't have jurisdiction over non-Native peoples. It really is as simple as that. And how anyone can want to strip a provision like that from a bill and basically say, if you are living with a non-Native person on reservation land, he may beat you bloody, and no one can touch him. I don't understand how anybody can vote against that. Another provision would affect a woman directly in my program right now. We offer transitional living services for victims of domestic violence for up to 2 years because we want victims to have an opportunity to really emerge from the other side of that violence and be able to find a job, find a place to live, and live a life in peace. One of the provisions in this bill, we have a woman in residence right now, and I'll tell you, as a U.S. citizen, it embarrasses me. Survived a war zone, spent years as a refugee, orphaned by her family, forced to go to 4 different countries before she met an American man, got married, and came to the United States. This woman went through all of these experiences without ever once having been significantly victimized until she came to the United States by her American husband. He would have to be notified of her whereabouts and her complaint in order for her to seek the protections available through the U visa program, not to lose her visa here to the United States because she's here married to an American man. So these are not just esoteric little provisions that people slipped into a bill to try to pull something over on someone. These are provisions that have a significant impact on the real lives of real victims. And apparently, I read this morning that we believed this bill could move into reconciliation with the Senate bill having been approved first. The benchmark, it turns out that there's a fee in the bill because some of the provisions were going to be funded by visa fees, and because of that, it may turn out that the House bill winds up with the advantage in reconciliation. So I urge you, please, please, to not only support this resolution, but to do what you can to try to reach out to people in Congress and ask them to quit using victims as a political football. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions, Madam Chair?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, first of all, wanted to also ask, sorry that I missed the window there, to be a co-sponsor. And then I wanted to recognize Supervisor Roma West for her leadership on this and her foresight, once again, forward thinking on these types of issues. So I wanted to thank her for that. I know she's not here right now, but she still deserves the recognition. And then also, I don't know that it was made yet, but I want to move approval. And then, if you don't mind, I also, because we do have new members, new people listening, I think for the sake of just being kind of, you know, communicating a little bit more, for our new members, when we adopt something like this, what happens then is, we'll have a letter of some nature, and basically these, our position will be delivered to our, at least our delegation in Congress. Same thing happens at the state, but I just wanted for those people who are new listening and on the committee to understand what impact this has, and I think it's quite powerful. So, okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. If there's no objection from the co-sponsors, Supervisor Dmitrievich is added as an additional co-sponsor. And I will, just for the record and for those who know what role Supervisor West has taken in leading on this, just want to state for the record she had car problems.
Oh.
What's detained her? She just sent me a message.
Okay.
All the other ones going on, so she apologizes. And obviously, unforeseen. I know she wanted to be here. But with that, we do have a motion for approval.
On the motion, Supervisor Salazar.
Aye.
Roderick.
Aye.
Dmitrievich.
Aye.
Collar.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair.
Aye.
Motion approved, 6-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.